This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, here we go into the happy hour. 5 o'clock, Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. If you're just tuning in, welcome to the sports day. That is biggest story, really, coming up about an hour from right now. Aztecs will tip it off in lovely Logan, Utah. Taking on Utah State tonight with first place at stake in the Mountain West Conference. The Aztecs also have bigger things in mind, and that would be trying to hang on to the number 4 seed that was bestowed upon them by the NCAA Tournament Committee over the weekend. If you get a 4 seed about now, it's about a month before the end of the regular season, but if you get a 4 seed now, you normally hang on to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully it, you know, takes some things to dislodge you. It's pretty impressive that the committee thinks that much of the Aztecs to put them in a 4 spot. Considering when they put them there, Tony, they were still unranked by the Associated Press yo-yos, who have now put them in there at number 19 heading into tonight's game. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is the Aztecs have lost all 6 weeks that they have been ranked this year. They get ranked, they lose. They've got to change that narrative tonight, but they got to do it against a very good Utah State team.
That's part of the reason why I've laid off of the AP and coaches, because every time I get on here and start barking about the Aztecs and no respect.
Yeah, they've let us down.
They keep letting us down. Each time.
Yeah, they're not going to let us down tonight, Tony.
No, I agree.
Tonight is the night, and also, honestly, if they win this one, they will really have the inside track to win the regular season title in the Mountain West Conference, which is doing something this year. Top-ranked UConn gets a challenge from 16th-ranked Creighton. That game gets underway in about a half an hour. Two adults have been charged with the murder of a young teacher. I say young. She was in her 40s. That's young to me. Who was shot among the spray of bullets at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade last week. Lindell Mays, Dominic Miller, both charged with second-degree murder. They apparently started shooting at each other, and both of them are actually still hospitalized in the wake of that tragedy.
I can't think of two bigger idiots that's just like shooting at each other in the middle of a crowd. Like, what are you doing?
Like, how do you get that upset where you just lose sight of the fact that there's like thousands of people surrounding you?
It's insane to me.
Apparently, they weren't the only ones who pulled guns out.
No, it was.
There was a bunch of people who had. I mean, what is everybody walking? I guess everybody's walking around with a gun.
Two minors, right?
There you
that they picked up last week, and then the two adults that were charged today. We know at least 4 people had. That gun.
And before you rail away and say you guys are trying to take our gun, no, we're not. Not trying to take your guns away. Just trying to make sure that we can keep guns out of the hands of people who probably shouldn't have them. That, I think, we can all agree on.
Indeed.
I would hope.
I think we can all agree on, too.
I'd probably be hoping, you know, incorrectly, because some people don't agree with that.
And what we can also agree on is that these people are just dumb. I think that's pretty universal.
Stupidity is a strong proponent in a lot of this stuff.
I mean, not only does it end this poor woman's life, but it also ends other lives too. Like
now, it just says two right. minors. I mean, not only that, her two—I think it's two kids she left behind and yeah. without a mom. It's just all ridiculousness. All bad. Ultimately,
it certainly is. It's a crying shame.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Padres continue on at spring training today. No real news out of Peoria to share with you. There was one baseball signing today. The Tampa Bay Rays sign a veteran infielder, Ahmed Rosario. Gets $1.5 million to play for the Rays. He played with the Dodgers last year, right? Finish up.
Who's that?
Ahmed Rosario.
Yes.
Yeah. Middle infielder. Going to go to Tampa Bay. There was one other thing I wanted to get. Oh, the college football did announce today that
the 5+7.
Yes, Scraby's favorite 5+7. He now knows that equals 12.
I understand it better now, but at first glance, I'm like, this is also a dumb name, 5+7 rule or whatever. It's
you don't
called.
Like the name?
Can I just read you guys this? We've been talking about the uniform situation in Major League Baseball. It has reached a high point
oh,
here.
Oh, yes. Remind us where the issue is. So, the players don't seem to like these uniforms.
They
and everybody, the new threads that Nike has put together.
So that's part of it that I should clear up, right? The uniforms are designed by Nike, mm-hmm. but they are produced, the look is produced by Fanatics.
Oh, so Nike's probably mad about this too.
They probably are. They designed the uniforms. The actual application of this is done by Fanatics. And it's gotten to the point now where there's been so many complaints. Now the union's involved. And Tony Clark, former Padre, San Diegan.
Yes.
He said,
Valhalla or Christian Heyer? Maybe
I think it was,
both.
I think it was both.
Yeah, maybe both.
Anytime there's a change, there's an adjustment period. Sometimes the adjustment period goes well, sometimes not so much. In this instance, there appear to be some misses that could have otherwise not been misses. talking to some of the players, it looks like a replica. I feel kind of like papery, Taylor Ward said last week. It could be great when you're out there sweating. It may be breathable, but I haven't had that opportunity yet to try that out. But from looks of it, it doesn't look like a $450 jersey. So far, thumbs down, as
big
he said.
Down. Do you think the players in general would rather look good but be a little more sweaty?
Did you see Tony's eyes as soon as you said that?
He already. So I should know the answer to this?
No, I'm about to say you should know the answer. But
I mean, or have a breathable uniform that just looks kind of cheap like this apparently does.
I think players honestly would want both. They would want to look good.
Sure.
But if you forced them
to answer,
pin them down and was like, you either can look good
or feel good. Yeah.
I'm saying more than 50% look good.
Look good, yeah. I think so, too. I really can't tell a big difference because if you're looking, it looks like some of the numbers and the lettering is smaller.
Yeah.
But we're not wearing the stuff. So, you know, from our vantage point, it's hard to tell.
I can tell you because, you know, growing up in the clubhouse, you know, at the time I'm trying to remember the name of the company.
Majestic.
Oh, I remember that.
So, like, that's what I grew up watching. And so that's all I wanted to wear. By the time I got to the big leagues, Major League Baseball had started, Majestic started introducing a more breathable fabric that everybody loved. But in my mind, I was like, I want the jersey I saw on my dad's back. And eventually, you learn to like it. It was a lighter fit. It was comfortable.
So maybe the players will come around, is what you're hinting at?
I'm saying that, but at least in that case, the uniform looked the same. Like, there wasn't a noticeable difference other than the weight of the uniform.
Got it.
In this case, as Scraby has pointed out on a number of occasions, you can see it before you even get up close how cheap the uniform looks at this point.
It looks like the mesh from basketball shorts. I'm not kidding. Like, when you go look at it close up. And it looks like the jerseys that we all got when Trevor Hoffman had his 1998 jersey day.
Yeah. It's
for fans.
It's funny because
I'm surprised that this... Did somebody have to okay this? Well, somewhere must have looked at it and said, hey, that's good.
It's interesting to me that Nike is not actually producing it. It's Fanatics who's doing it.
And apparently Fanatics has rubbed everyone the wrong way.
It sounds like it.
In the chat, they want to ask you specifically about them having the monopoly on all the different sports and their trading cards. Oh, here it is. What Fanatics? Does Tony think of Fanatics having the monopoly on MLB, NBA, and NFL trading cards like Topps?
Yeah, I mean, listen, a lot of the other companies opened the door for Fanatics to be able, because remember, it was about three or four companies that were involved in trading.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they've slowly but surely either gotten out of that business or aren't doing it at the level they were before, and that's opened the door for Fanatics. I don't think it's good for sport, for trading cards that they have. There's no competition for it. I think that's horrible, but that is what we have now.
How much is a single trading card now? $10, $12, $15?
A single? It depends on
no,
what
you know
is.
What I'm saying. A like pack of like four is like $20.
Chat,
sometimes.
Do your thing. I don't know.
Yeah, chat. How much is a pack of trading cards?
Because honestly, last year I was at a game with my, it was on Father's Day. It was with my friend and his 4-year-old son. And gosh, I can't remember his last name. Aaron something. He's a teacher.
Aaron,
he's a
something.
Listener. Anyway, he walks around the park with trading cards and all that. And
Aaron Jaffe.
There it is. Yes. There it is. So he was walking around. We ran into each other, and he just had a full bag worth of trading cards. And my son's friend was like, or my friend's son was like, "What are these?" And he didn't know. But he opened them, and he was all into them. He was looking at them. He was playing with them. So there's still kids out there that,
of course,
can love the trading cards.
I think everybody loves a trading card. Just not everybody can afford a trading card anymore the way I could back in the better days when there was dime or a quarter per pack.
The chat is doing its thing right
they
now.
They have many different prices. A pack of 40 cards is about $35 now. I believe they're like 15. Jeez. Depends on what cards. I've seen everything from 20 to 100. Now they have super packs that are $75. George Costanza, did he make these jerseys? Is that
he might have.
There's a whole episode about that in Seinfeld.
Small packs are usually looked over because they garbaggio.
They have nothing in there. No good cards.
Topps Chrome is 40 for 40 cards. I think it's fair. 40.
It's not fair.
That's dude.
$1 a card. We used to get a pack of 20 right. for a quarter.
No kid and will ever get, know the
and,
gum.
And you'd get the freaking the disappearing gum.
That's right.
The disappearing the gum that was so stale that it shouldn't have probably been used for human consumption.
No.
Don't even think about it, man. That gum was better than almost every card unless you got a Tony Gwynn card in your pack.
Not making fun of your age, Chris. But what was the most fun card you ever got as a kid?
What do you mean, fun card?
No, like, what was your prized possession card?
I don't know, just whatever one. I tried to collect the whole set. So, to me, it was just a matter. There was no particular player. The ones I needed were the one I needed to complete the set. So,
I
got down to, you know, it was a set of like 600 cards back then.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
You had to get a ton of cards, but it was easy to buy them because every time you came up with a dime, you just bought a pack. You know, and then when you get near the end, you trade them with guys until you could finish up.
You know how I feel about big business.
Just real
I feel
quick,
like
you know
Fanatics.
You're going to have to get to your fish here.
Oh, yes. They were saying that the Chrome cards that were 40 for 40 now, 5 years ago were 40 cards for $15. So that's ridiculous.
It's going up way too fast.
Come on, Fanatics, do your thing. All right. I said before the break that there's a guy who's feeling crappy about his crappy.
It was almost a good little tease.
Apparently, I really did think that this fish, the fish in question was named Crappy, but
no,
Kirk Kenny,
crappie.
He texted me, he said it's a crappie.
Yeah.
So we'll just let the tease stand. But here is the number one Big Five story. A Kansas fisherman.
Number one. A Kansas fisherman
who had a state record white crappie. I mean, it's spelled.
It's crappie, scraby.
He had it voided, and he doesn't understand why, but he now knows the reason his record fish was tossed out and the old record reinstated after an investigation prompted by a tip. This is like people calling him from the couch.
He had some weights in the tail.
Hold on. Officials from the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks discovered weights inside the record catch.
Wait, the guy didn't understand why his fish was no good, yet there were weights in there? How did they get there?
I'm going to have to say I'm giving you an incomplete story because I cannot find whether or not this guy is... I don't think he's at fault, so he didn't know.
So the fish was down there just eating weights and then came up out of that swim.
Now, people think that the fish was, eating weights because some of the weights, but they were ball bearings. They're ball bearings.
This dude cheated his behind off.
But he's not being charged with anything.
The funny thing is this isn't the first time somebody's, I shouldn't say, he hasn't been accused of being caught.
No, you're right. This. It was in the article. There were some professional fishermen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
This fish is just down there just... sucking up weights.
Eating weights. That was his excuse. I mean, come on.
So his state record consideration was 4.07 pounds. It's not going to be that anymore because of the weights. The game wardens then took the fish to Topeka Zoo and Conservation Center where they had to x-ray the fish to show the steel ball bearings inside. And I'm really actually kind of angry whoever fed this fish the steel ball bearings because it's not smart.
It probably...
Oh, really? Because the fish was in pretty good shape lying there on the deck in the first place?
I think that when you're trying to feed fish ball bearings, you've done something wrong in your life.
Listen, and I guess in defense, not so defense because he hasn't admitted to this, I'm willing to bet he dropped them ball bearings down there after.
Here's the question.
The fact.
Tony, do you think the fisherman in question fed the fish ball bearings?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you really get a lot from being the state crappie holder, record holder?
Hey. Whatever amount of money it was worth sticking some steel ball bearings down there.
It was worth nothing.
There.
He's not a professional fisherman. He's just a guy.
Yeah, he still did it.
Cheating guy.
He is a cheating guy. Chris, do you think he fed this?
Okay. I do. I can't imagine any other way.
Fish is just down there grubbing on ball bearings down in the lake.
Unbelievable, man. They're just cheating in every sport. Or if you're not cheating, you're not trying. They've got to do away with that saying. Because everyone's cheating.
Everyone's trying, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The only people that aren't cheating is me during Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show.
Oh, a little pot shot there.
That's not even a little pot shot. That's just cold-blooded.
If you want to go back to 340, listen to Chris's Fantabulous Game Show, and then go to 4 o'clock and listen to my protest. Thank you.
This gets a break.
Right now, check traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Inside the Green Room with Danny Green is a podcast that takes you beyond the scoreboard. Join three-time NBA champion Danny Green for insight on the association that you won't hear anywhere else. Plus, get the behind-the-scenes access to what life is like in the NBA. Follow Inside the Green Room with Danny Green in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 5:22 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Anthony Rendon, caused some stir this weekend when he reported.
He seems to cause a stir every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah,
frankly.
No. See, the thing about Anthony Rendon that I think people are starting to realize, he says the quiet part out loud.
That's right.
Quite often,
like the old did I really say that?
Yes, and once he's out there, he is willing to double, triple down in most cases. He was asked basically how he felt about being in spring training. Whether baseball was a job or was it something he enjoyed to do? Here's how he answered.
Is it still a top priority for you?
It's never been a top priority for me. This is a job. So I do this to make a living. My faith, my family come first before this job. So if those things come before it, I'm leaving.
Is it a priority?
Oh, it's a priority for sure. This is my job. I'm here, aren't I?
Do you want
to
be here?
I don't want to talk to you guys at 7 in the morning or whatever time it is. So...
Do you want to like be here playing baseball?
I have answered your question, so why do you keep picking at it?
Oh, yeah, you technically answered it.
Thank you.
I'm on his side there. Yeah. I mean, the guy asked it 14 different ways, looking to get him to say more things. The thing
he wanted him to say, "No, I don't want to be here.
I don't want to be here. I'd rather be home,
with my family."
The lawn.
Right.
He makes $38 million a year. He's got to realize that, and he hasn't played. Because of injury for two or three years. As you pointed out, when he played, he's really, really good.
Yeah.
Like top four or five player in all of baseball. He actually earned the contract he got.
He did.
He's just not earning it now.
No. He won't be earning another 35 after this contract is up.
Is he wrong for saying that there's other things in his life that are important to him? No.
No.
But the way he seems to always say it... makes it seem like baseball is an afterthought, and I think people do feel some type of way about that.
I think, it's who's asking. He doesn't seem to be a big fan of the media.
No.
So he's already irritated
he's not a big
that he
fan
has to talk
the
to them to begin with.
Yes.
The thing I found interesting is Anthony Rendon said what the majority of Americans feel about when they have to go to work. He just said it out loud, which is, my family and my faith take priority, which is not different than any of us. The only difference is he's getting paid about $35 million to play a game that most people deem a kid's sport.
Yeah.
And so that kind of rubs people the wrong way. But I don't think Anthony Rendon really cares.
No.
How you feel about it.
Well, he came out a couple of weeks ago and he said that the one thing he would change about baseball is not playing as many games. Then he said, I'm kidding, but nobody picked up that part of
it. Right.
So in the mind of most people, here's already a guy that says he plays too much. Now he says he doesn't care. And they switch it around.
Right.
Now he doesn't care. Yeah. Anthony Rendon, is he playing this year? Is he healthy?
As of now, he's healthy.
So he can get booed all over the, wherever he goes, probably.
I'm seeing a chat right here from, I don't even know what that name is. Rendon should be booed out of every stadium, every game, every at bat. For him to act the way he does is insane.
Yeah. See, that's a little strong.
But then they followed it up with doesn't want to answer questions due to performance. If you're going to play bad and you're going to say it's not a priority, you should probably
answer questions. Is it due to performance or is it due to injury?
Probably the both.
I see what
caught you there, Scrape.
Sweating on that one.
The other interesting thing that came out of the Angels camp was Mike Trout's comments. For the first time, he seemed to indicate that he wants this team or this organization to do what it has to do to contend. Our guy, Dallas Braden, popped up on the chat. After those on the chat on X afterwards, and he tweeted this. He said, "I use this analogy on baseball is dead today." He said Trout vocalizing his desire for a more competitive approach from the front office at this point in his career is like when we finally got Pacquiao Mayweather, a little too late. He said, especially after Ohtani's departure. Now I see Dallas's point here in terms of why wait till now. But at this point, is it a bad thing that he's actually saying this now? I mean, would you rather him have not ever said anything throughout the rest of his tenure in Anaheim? It may be late, but the question is it too late? I don't think it is. For a player to, at this some point in his career, it's been a long one with the Angels, decide, hey, you know what, I feel comfortable enough to speak out and say, hey, I would like to see this team in a better position. Now, he did go on to say in this same comments that he loves being in Anaheim. He wants to be a winner in Anaheim, but he definitely didn't rule out eventually doing what we tend to do, most players do,
yeah,
which is ask for a trade.
Go somewhere where he can win. I mean, the Angels are up against it, even with whatever they're trying to do this year. I mean, Ron Washington's their new manager, but they got the world champs ahead of them. And the Rangers, and the Astros.
They're in a tough division.
And the Mariners. So, not going anywhere. Did you see the Reds thing today?
No, what'd the Reds do?
Ellie De La Cruz was taking batting practice against Hunter Greene today.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's not bad.
It's not bad. Ellie De La Cruz...
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask.
Yeah, Ellie De La Cruz hit a foul ball. It smashed a car window out in the parking lot. The car window that it smashed... Hunter Greene's, the guy he was facing.
Well, that's a big hang with him right there.
Yes, it is.
That is.
Luckily, they can afford to get
that
fixed.
I think, what is it, Safe Flight?
Safe Flight Repair.
Safe Flight Replace.
Their marketing is really good, apparently.
These guys can sing, too.
Let's get to break. When we come back, Sam the Great. Sam Levitt joined us earlier. You get a chance to hear that interview on Gwen and Chris.
All right, happy hour continues at 5:36. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby over there. One last bit of baseball news to get to. Chris Carey is a broadcaster, apparently. He's wanted to be a broadcaster, major league broadcaster, ever since he was 12 years old. Today, that dream became a reality for Chris Carey.
Now, this is Chip's son, isn't it?
It is Chip's son, who is the son of Skip, who is the son of Harry.
Right.
So Harry is the...
Fourth generation
Carey is now broadcasting. He joins our pal, Jenny Kavner, as the new television voice of the Oakland Athletics. Former big league pitcher, another friend of the show, Dallas Braden, is also on those telecasts. Scrappy. So it'll be Jenny, it'll be Dallas Braden, and now it'll be Chris Carey. And...
Scraby, all right?
Scraby's pleased with this. Finding out that Chris's father, Chip, is a big league broadcaster.
I'm doing my research.
And Chip's dad, Skip, was a big league broadcaster.
His
and Skip's dad, Harry, was a broadcaster. So it only seems like it makes sense that Chris would follow in their footsteps, Scrape.
Yeah. He definitely did. I'm reading about
his...
I'm reading about his... Yahoo Sports did a... Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. I can hear you.
We can hear you, unfortunately.
Yahoo Sports did a Q&A with him today, actually, and it just released, or NBC Sports California did. Uh-huh. And they said, tell A's fans a little bit about your journey to this point. He said, well, I started broadcasting baseball a little later than most people. I was in high school when I started doing a public address announcing. Basically, I'm looking to see if he's qualified, and it doesn't seem like he's toiled away in the minor leagues like a lot of other people.
He most recently
really
handled play-by-play duties for the AA Amarillo.
That's where Sam was
That sounds like
from.
Sam Levitt.
cut
we
his
need
teeth.
To get Sam on the show
but
about
Sam,
this.
See, he
but
has a
Sam
journal-
had to work
this
way. Out.
Has a journalism degree from the University of Georgia. He worked his tail off graduating.
Scrape.
He's a bulldog.
Scrape. Sounds like this kid's earned it.
Matt Murphy, president GM of Sports California, NBC, says Chris has tremendous skill as an announcer and a true passion for his craft, which is why he's a rising talent in broadcasting. Doesn't say anything about nepotism there.
No, no, it doesn't.
Well, great. When he was younger, it's they asked him. They asked him. I'm trying to look at these quotes because they're so great, all of them. I don't really want to make fun of the kid himself, but. I'm reading this, and I don't feel like he's qualified for this job. Maybe he's going to be great. Jenny Kavner is someone who worked for years and years and years to get to her spot.
She did.
Dallas Braden is a former Major League Baseball pitcher who pitched a perfect game on Mother's Day.
That qualifies him.
This Chris Chip Skip Carey kid
Chris
did public address announcing in high school, and he's qualified in AA Amarillo for a year.
I did public address announcing in high school as well.
Did you also want to be a...
That's how it starts.
I wanted to be a big league broadcaster from the age of 12.
Scrape, you had to start somewhere.
They asked him, well, you know, what is it? Did you always want to follow in your family's footsteps? And he was like, well, when I was 4 or 5 years old, I thought this would be a really great thing for me. Okay, yeah. If I was 4 or 5 years old and I had legendary broadcasters as grandpas, I would go into the business
town. That sounded a little bit like Chris voice A2.
But before I get myself in trouble, we need to get to Sam. Oh, wait. Hold on. We're ready. Sorry.
You traffic
guys,
first.
You guys know what you did.
Then our interview with the other person who used to be a broadcaster for Amarillo in AA baseball.
None other than the great Sammy Lev. Sam, welcome to the show, man. How are you? How's Peoria treating you?
Oh, Peoria has been absolutely wonderful. In fact, the weather has been terrific, truly. Tony, you'll remember last year, the first couple of weeks here were
cold.
Brutal. It
yeah.
was cold. It has been beautiful. Blue skies, sun shining. I have walked around in just my polo at times. It has been absolutely gorgeous, and it's been a good time. And, Tony, look forward to seeing you out here soon. But
yeah.
It's been terrific. It's been a lot of fun, and I love this stuff, and I love this time of year, and watching the guys just do things you see little leaguers do, right? Back to the basics and the fundamentals and the drills and everything that spring training is. So it's been great so far, truly.
It's funny because I actually spoke to Jesse Agler and I were texting back and forth. We were having a good laugh about the Anthony Rendon story that came out over the weekend. But that was the first thing he mentioned. He said, man, this weather, he said, it's actually kind of hot out here. Like, it's not the same thing we've been dealing with over the last couple of spring trainings. Sam, obviously, this time of year, everybody's super excited. It's like the first week of school, right? Everybody shows up, haven't seen each other over the winter, and as things are starting to come together, what are some of the things that have at least popped out to you as the whole squad has kind of entered the phase here?
Yeah, look, it's obviously a different year and a different team and different expectations, and there are plenty of names that were here a year ago that are no longer here. So it is a different team in a different season. But I would say a few themes pop out. I think, number one, a new manager in Mike Schilt. We heard from the very start when Mike was hired about how detail-oriented he was, how about the fundamentals he was. And that has really shined through, I think, already in spring training. I said it a little bit earlier on the morning show, but anything you ask Mike Schilt about, he has a very detailed answer, and he thinks about baseball stuff in a way that I don't think a lot of us think about it. I'll give you an example. The other day, he had an answer to a question during his daily media scrum about off days, and it was something that maybe most people would give a second or two of thought. But he had a 3-4 minute answer on off days and what kinds of off days there are and how it fits into a season. It was a fascinating answer that I have to post at some point, but it was a really good example and good reminder of how detail oriented Mike Schilt is. So that's been impressive. Number one. Number two, there's certainly an acknowledgement of what transpired last season, the disappointment of it, what went wrong. And I think there's also a sense of this team and its leadership understands that they have to play as a team and they have to play together. And there does have to be sort of a checking of egos at the door. It's something I just talked to Jake Cronenworth about. I just did a one-on-one with him, and he echoed that. We've heard Joe Musgrove talk about that. There's certainly a sense of they need to play as a group, as a cohesive unit, as a team, and maybe an acknowledgement that they didn't battle through adversity all that well last year. That's been something a number of guys have said, and hopefully they've learned that lesson as a group, including you know, the star players and the leaders on this team. So that's also a big theme. And then beyond that, on the field, with the roster constructed currently the way it is, there's just so much opportunity for guys. There just simply is. Whether you want to look at the young guys right now competing for outfield spots, guys like Jackson Merrill, guys like Graham Pauly, Jacob Marcy is here working out with that group. The rotation spots, you have two guys that came over from the Yankees that I know the organization is really impressed with, and Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito. But I will tell you, I would not count out Matt Waldron and Pedro Avila in that conversation either. I think there's a very good possibility, and those guys have a very good chance of making this rotation and making this club if they impress. And, you know, I'll potentially throw another name into the mix, Jairo Iriarte, who is really young. But my goodness, Tony, you're going to watch this guy throw, and it is awfully, awfully impressive. I'm not here saying that he's going to make the rotation out of spring training, but, you know, you watch him and you start to envision a world where, man, if he impresses to the degree he's capable of, anything is possible, right? Yeah. So the point being, there is open competition for a ton of different spots. And look, we understand that the roster is perhaps not complete yet. There, you know, I think we would still all be surprised if there's not another move or two to be made. But the point is that right now there is opportunity abound for a number of different guys. And from that sense, it's an interesting spring training so far, and it's fun to watch these guys perform. And right now they're battling for what are open spots, and a lot of question marks means a lot of answers need to be provided during the course of spring training. So all that is good stuff. And I would say those three themes are probably the main takeaways so far.
Sammy Leavitt is with us. He's in Peoria. Tony's headed to Peoria here in a couple of days, and we're getting reports, you know, right there with the Padres. Sam, you know, Tony and I were already discussing, and you referenced it, that there are some potential holes here. Leave the starting rotation out for a minute. If there are no more moves made, if there are no moves, and that's a big if, because I think some moves will be made, as do you. But who would you put at third base? Who would you put at DH? Who would you put in the outfield on opening day in Korea?
Well, let's start with third base. Look, Manny looks great, and the throwing looks really good, and everything we've heard, everything we've seen has been really, really good, and they have not ruled out the idea of Manny being ready for those games in Korea or on opening day at Petco Park. So that, to me, is still on the table. I mean, everything we've heard from Manny and seen from Manny, it looks good. Now, he's talked about it. It's about the repetition day to day and seeing what his arm can handle, and it's still a process, so there's no guarantee of anything, but I don't think that's totally out of the question. But let's, you know, live in a world where that doesn't happen. Look, I think that it's pretty, well, you know, it's funny, Chris, I haven't really thought about it since Xander Bogaerts, since that was announced he was going to second base. So third base, look, the options you have are what they are, right? I mean, it would have to be a situation where either Ha-Sung Kim is playing third base and you have somebody else playing shortstop, or you have somebody else playing third base, somebody like a Matthew Batten, somebody like a Graham Pauly who can play over there. Look, these are the guys that are in camp, and these are the guys that are competing for those spots right now. So I don't totally know the answer at third base.
Yeah.
As far as the outfield, look,
do you think Jackson Merrill is ready to step into one of those spots if they had to?
Well, I think this, in getting to the outfield, look, Jackson Merrill is going to play the outfield at the outset of spring training. It's where he's worked at exclusively so far since full squad workouts began. And it is very, very clear that they want to work him into the outfield where he has very limited experience. So, you know, if Manny's not at third base opening day, could Jackson Merrill somehow fit into that infield? I suppose it's possible, but when you focus on just the outfield itself, I mean, guys, right now, I would put Jackson Merrill right in that conversation, maybe even leading that conversation, unless you're going to go with, you know, one of the guys you brought in is another non-roster invite who isn't necessarily a prospect, but somebody else you brought in. But right now, your options out there are Merrill or Azokar, and I'm talking about both left and center, but it's Merrill, Azokar, Graham Pauly. I mean, that's who's here right now. And look, like you said, I think we'd all be surprised if there's not another move made, and we know Jerks and Profar is going to show up at some point. It's been reported, not announced by the team officially, but it certainly sounds like he'll be on his way at some point. Those are the names you're considering right now because that's who's here, you know, and I'm not saying that to knock anybody, but that's the reality right now when you look inside that clubhouse. So you ask the question, do I think Merrill's ready for it? Look, we're going to learn over the course of the coming weeks what that outfield experience ultimately translates into in real game action. It's really hard to gauge, I find, during spring training drills. I mean, what can you really learn from that? He looks good. He's certainly putting in the work to get better out there. But I do think, just on the Merrill part of it, I do think if that spot is open and Jackson Merrill is proving both defensively and offensively he's ready, oh yeah, I think there is a real, real chance he is on this opening day roster and in that opening day lineup. And watching him hit, I mean, it's there. It really is. And we know the kind of prospect he is, and we know the talent level. So do I think that's on the table based on his talent and what this roster is right now? I absolutely do. But, it's very, very hard to project what each spot looks like right now because there's just a lot we don't know. And there are spots where guys have not played a whole lot where they may be playing come opening day in Korea. So we'll see.
Yeah, if you just take everything into account that the Padres have kind of been presented with, there has to be some young guy who's going to step up, whether it's in the rotation, could be in the outfield in Jackson Merrill. Yeah, they're going to be younger in spots. I don't think there's any question about it. Hopefully there is a move made on the horizon. We'll see. Sammy Leavitt joins us here live from Padres Spring Training, presented by your San Diego County Toyota Dealer Association. We make it easy, and Sam makes it easy for us here as we're talking a little bit about the Padres. Sam, Chris and I were talking about the starting rotation, particularly Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish. They had a little bit of a weird spring training last year. They have come in fully, seeming like ready to hit the ground running here in 2024. Yeah. We got a little bit of a kind of peek inside of perhaps what the Padres are thinking at the top of this rotation. Joe Musgrove will get an opportunity to start the first spring training game on Thursday. Just listening to how that conversation broke down in the scrum, it feels like Joe could, assuming everything stays the same, could be on his way to starting that home opener, Korea opener a month from now.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like Joe is going to start one and you will start the other. Which order they go in, I don't know that we can project out that far. And I think Mike Schultz has been pretty clear that he doesn't want us, I guess, as media and the fans to read too far into who's starting Cactus League games at this point. But it certainly seems that way, and it would make all the sense in the world that with those two games just sitting out there in mid-March that you'd want Joe and you to pitch those games. And the good news with those two guys, regardless of how it ultimately shakes out for the games in Korea, is that they both are healthy and looking good and feeling good. Joe threw a bullpen today, and they seemed really pleased with how he looked and seemed like he was very pleased with how it went. And Yu Darvish yesterday threw a live BP, and from the looks of it, they were pleased with how that went, and they're healthy, which is very important. So we know how important those two are to the very top of this rotation, and I'm with you, Tony. I think, you know, if you sort of read the tea leaves based on who's starting at least Thursday's game and Joe Musgrove, yes, I would say probably a pretty good chance that he will start one of those games in Korea. How it ultimately schedules out, who knows, as we get closer. But I would still say I would, you know, if both are healthy, I would be pretty surprised if Darvish and and Musgrove weren't starting those two games. But like I said, Mike Schilt has you know, kind of urged us not to read too too far into it yet, which I understand. So we'll see. We'll get answers, but hey, it'll be good to see Joe out there on a you know, on a real mound against real opponents on Thursday, along with Michael King. And Yuki Matsui is supposed to pitch on Thursday against the Dodgers as well here in Peoria. And tell you what, a lot of rave reviews about him from his live BP yesterday and what he's looked like. So good stuff on Yuki too.
A lot of get a chance to see some of these new pieces the Padres have, some of the old pieces that have been very good in a Padre uniform starting on Thursday. Sam, appreciate the time, man. We'll be doing this quite often over the next month. And keep enjoying that weather, man.
Yeah, I will. Tony, we need you out here. I'm excited for you to get here and you can join in on the Peoria fun, all the great times here in Peoria. So I'll see you soon.
Sammy Levitt getting it done from Peoria. We are kind of on our way out, but we wanted to acknowledge our guest that came into studio late today to join us. Cousin Polly is out here, and we got her daughter Stella and her friend Linnea. Thanks everybody for coming to visit. They're from Utah, by the way. We're kind of anti-Utah tonight because the Aztecs are playing Utah State in a big college basketball game up in Logan. So go Aztecs. But thanks for coming in to visit with us, everybody. Tomorrow we'll get underway at 2 o'clock, and then the next day Tony will be heading to spring training.
Yes,
that's unbelievable. It's already time.
I'm trying not to think about that drive right now.
You think that it is Tony Gwynn Jr., Scrape. You think they would send a plane for him or something, don't you?
Yeah.
And they give him protection at the fan fest.
This
he gets security
he
to walk him around.
He had the Pope Mobile.
Yeah, the Pope Mobile.
Yes, he did.
You think they'd send a private jet to bring him, whisk him to spring training?
I certainly wouldn't turn it down. I know.
I'm just suggesting it. Tell one of the Erics.
Surprised you don't have like time travel or anything yet. So being Tony Gwynn Jr.
When that becomes available.
Time travel will be what takes place next.
No, I didn't mean time travel. I meant warp. Like
warp speed.
Wormhole.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, all of that stuff will be discussed next in the Scraby Chronicles. For Tony, for Scraby, for the kids from Utah, thanks for coming to visit. Chris Ello, have a great night, everyone.
None other than the great Sammy Lev. Sam, welcome to the show, man. How are you? How's Peoria treating you?
Oh, Peoria has been absolutely wonderful. In fact, the weather has been terrific, truly. Tony, you'll remember last year, the first couple of weeks here were
cold.
Brutal. It
yeah.
was cold. It has been beautiful. Blue skies, sun shining. I have walked around in just my polo at times. It has been absolutely gorgeous, and it's been a good time. And, Tony, look forward to seeing you out here soon. But It's been terrific. It's been a lot of fun, and I love this stuff, and I love this time of year, and watching the guys just do things you see little leaguers do, right? Back to the basics and the fundamentals and the drills and everything that spring training is. So it's been great so far, truly.
It's funny because I actually spoke to Jesse Agler and I were texting back and forth. We were having a good laugh about the Anthony Rendon story that came out over the weekend. But that was the first thing he mentioned. He said, man, this weather, he said, it's actually kind of hot out here. Like, it's not the same thing we've been dealing with over the last couple of spring trainings. Sam, obviously, this time of year, everybody's super excited. It's like the first week of school, right? Everybody shows up, haven't seen each other over the winter, and as things are starting to come together, what are some of the things that have at least popped out to you as the whole squad has kind of entered the phase here?
Yeah, look, it's obviously a different year and a different team and different expectations, and there are plenty of names that were here a year ago that are no longer here. So it is a different team in a different season. But I would say a few themes pop out. I think number one, a new manager in Mike Schilt. We heard from the very start when Mike was hired about how detail oriented he was, how about the fundamentals he was. And that has really shined through, I think, already in spring training. I said it a little bit earlier on the morning show, but anything you ask Mike Schilt about, he has a very detailed answer, and he thinks about baseball stuff in a way that I don't think a lot of us think about it. I'll give you an example. The other day, he had an answer to a question during his daily media scrum about off days, and it was something that maybe most people would give a second or two of thought, but he had a 3-4 minute answer on off days and what kinds of off days there are and how it fits into a season. It was a fascinating answer that I have to post at some point, but it was a really good example and good reminder of how detail-oriented Mike Schilt is. So that's been impressive, number one. Number two, there's certainly an acknowledgement of what transpired last season, the disappointment of it, what went wrong. And I think there's also a sense of this team and its leadership understands that they have to play as a team and they have to play together. And there does have to be sort of a checking of egos at the door. It's something I just talked to Jake Cronenworth about. I just did a one-on-one with him and he echoed that. We've heard Joe Musgrove talk about that. There's certainly a sense of they need to play as a group, as a cohesive unit, as a team, and maybe an acknowledgement that they didn't battle through adversity all that well last year. That's been something a number of guys have said, and hopefully they've learned that lesson as a group, including, you know, the star players and the leaders on this team. So that's also a big theme. And then beyond that, on the field, with the roster constructed currently the way it is, there's just so much opportunity for guys. There just simply is. Whether you want to look at the young guys right now competing for outfield spots, guys like Jackson Merrill, guys like Graham Pauly, Jacob Marcy is here working out with that group. The rotation spots, you have two guys that came over from the Yankees that I know the organization is really impressed with, and Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito. But I will tell you, I would not count out Matt Waldron and Pedro Avila in that conversation either. I think there's a very good possibility, and those guys have a very good chance of making this rotation and making this club if they impress. And, you know, I'll potentially throw another name into the mix, Jairo Iriarte, who is really young. But my goodness, Tony, you're going to watch this guy throw, and it is awfully, awfully impressive. I'm not here saying that he's going to make the rotation out of spring training, but you know, you watch him and you start to envision a world where, man, if he impresses to the degree he's capable of, anything is possible, right? Yeah. So the point being, there is open competition for a ton of different spots. And look, we understand that the roster is perhaps not complete yet. There, you know, I think we would still all be surprised if there's not another move or two to be made. But the point is that right now there is opportunity abound for a number of different guys. And from that sense, it's an interesting spring training so far, and it's fun to watch these guys perform. And right now they're battling for what are open spots, and a lot of question marks means a lot of answers need to be provided during the course of spring training. So all that is good stuff. And I would say those three themes are probably the main takeaways so far.
Sammy Leavitt is with us. He's in Peoria. Tony's headed to Peoria here in a couple of days, and we're getting reports, you know, right there with the Padres. Sam, you know, Tony and I were already discussing, and you referenced it, that there are some potential holes here. Leave the starting rotation out for a minute. If there are no more moves made, if there are no moves, and that's a big if, because I think some moves will be made, as do you. But who would you put at third base? Who would you put at DH? Who would you put in the outfield on opening day in Korea?
Well, let's start with third base. Look, Manny looks great, and the throwing looks really good, and everything we've heard, everything we've seen has been really, really good, and they have not ruled out the idea of Manny being ready for those games in Korea or on opening day at Petco Park. So that to me is still on the table. I mean, everything we've heard from Manny and seen from Manny, it looks good. Now, he's talked about it. It's about the repetition day to day and seeing what his arm can handle. And it's still a process, so there's no guarantee of anything, but I don't think that's totally out of the question. But let's, you know, live in a world where that doesn't happen. Look, I think that it's pretty, well, you know, it's funny, Chris, I haven't really thought about it since Xander Bogaerts, since that was announced he was going to second base. So third base, look, the options you have are what they are, right? I mean, it would have to be a situation where either Ha-Sung Kim is playing third base and you have somebody else playing shortstop, or you have somebody else playing third base, somebody like a Matthew Batten, somebody like a Graham Pauly who can play over there. Look, these are the guys that are in camp, and these are the guys that are competing for those spots right now. So I don't totally know the answer at third base.
Yeah.
As far as the outfield,
do you think Jackson Merrill is ready to step into one of those spots if they had to?
Well, I think this, in getting to the outfield, look, Jackson Merrill is going to play the outfield at the outset of spring training. It's where he's worked at exclusively so far since full squad workouts began. And it is very, very clear that they want to work him into the outfield where he has very limited experience. So, you know, if Manny's not at third base opening day, could Jackson Merrill somehow fit into that infield? I suppose it's possible, but when you focus on just the outfield itself, I mean, guys, right now, I would put Jackson Merrill right in that conversation, maybe even leading that conversation, unless you're going to go with, you know, one of the guys you brought in is another non-roster invite who isn't necessarily a prospect, but somebody else you brought in. But right now, your options out there are Merrill or Azokar, and I'm talking about both left and center, but it's Merrill, Azokar, Graham Pauly. I mean, that's who's here right now. And look, like you said, I think we'd all be surprised if there's not another move made, and we know Jerks and Profar is going to show up at some point. It's been reported, not announced by the team officially, but it certainly sounds like he'll be on his way at some point. Those are the names you're considering right now because that's who's here, you know, and I'm not saying that to knock anybody, but that's the reality right now when you look inside that clubhouse. So you ask the question, do I think Merrill's ready for it? Look, we're going to learn over the course of the coming weeks what that outfield experience ultimately translates into in real game action. It's really hard to gauge, I find, during spring training drills. I mean, what can you really learn from that? He looks good. He's certainly putting in the work to get better out there. But I do think, just on the Merrill part of it, I do think if that spot is open and Jackson Merrill is proving both defensively and offensively he's ready, oh yeah, I think there is a real, real chance he is on this opening day roster and in that opening day lineup. And watching him hit, I mean, it's there. It really is. And we know the kind of prospect he is, and we know the talent level. So do I think that's on the table based on his talent and what this roster is right now? I absolutely do. But, it's very, very hard to project what each spot looks like right now because there's just a lot we don't know. And there are spots where guys have not played a whole lot where they may be playing come opening day in Korea. So we'll see.
Yeah, if you just take everything into account that the Padres have kind of been presented with, there has to be some young guy who's going to step up, whether it's in the rotation, could be in the outfield in Jackson Merrill. Yeah, they're going to be younger in spots. I don't think there's any question about it. Hopefully there is a move made on the horizon. We'll see. Sammy Leavitt joins us here live from Padres Spring Training, presented by your San Diego County Toyota Dealer Association. We make it easy, and Sam makes it easy for us here as we're talking a little bit about the Padres. Sam, Chris and I were talking about the starting rotation, particularly Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish. They had a little bit of a weird spring training last year. They have come in fully, seeming like ready to hit the ground running here in 2024. Yeah. We got a little bit of a kind of peek inside of perhaps what the Padres are thinking at the top of this rotation. Joe Musgrove will get an opportunity to start the first spring training game on Thursday. Just listening to how that conversation broke down in the scrum, it feels like Joe could, assuming everything stays the same, could be on his way to starting that home opener, or not home opener, Korea opener a month from now.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like Joe is going to start one and you will start the other. Which order they go in, I don't know that we can project out that far. And I think Mike Schultz has been pretty clear that he doesn't want us, I guess, as media and the fans to read too far into who's starting Cactus League games at this point. But it certainly seems that way, and it would make all the sense in the world that with those two games just sitting out there in mid-March that you'd want Joe and you to pitch those games. And the good news with those two guys, regardless of how it ultimately shakes out for the games in Korea, is that they both are healthy and looking good and feeling good. Joe threw a bullpen today, and they seemed really pleased with how he looked and seemed like he was very pleased with how it went. And Yu Darvish yesterday threw a live BP, and from the looks of it, they were pleased with how that went, and they're healthy, which is very important. So we know how important those two are to the very top of this rotation. And I'm with you, Tony. I think, you know, if you sort of read the tea leaves based on who's starting at least Thursday's game and Joe Musgrove, yes, I would say probably a pretty good chance that he will start one of those games in Korea. How it ultimately schedules out, yeah, who knows as we get closer. But yeah, I would still say I would, you know, if both are healthy, I'd be pretty surprised if Darvish and Musgrove weren't starting those two games. But like I said, Mike Schilt has you know, kind of urged us not to read too too far into it yet, which I understand. So we'll see. We'll get answers. But hey, it'll be good to see Joe out there on a you know, on a real mound against real opponents on Thursday, along with Michael King and Yuki Matsui. Supposed to pitch on Thursday against the Dodgers as well here in Peoria. And tell you what, a lot of rave reviews about him from his live BP yesterday and what he's looked like. So good stuff on Yuki, too.
A lot of get a chance to see some of these new pieces the Padres have, some of the old pieces that have been very good in a Padre uniform starting on Thursday. Sam, appreciate the time, man. We'll be doing this quite often over the next month. And keep enjoying that weather, man.
Yeah, I will. Tony, we need you out here. I'm excited for you to get here, and you can join in on the Peoria fun, all the great times here in Peoria. So I'll see you soon.
Sammy Levitt getting it done from Peoria. We are kind of on our way out, but we wanted to acknowledge our guest that came into studio late today to join us. Cousin Polly is out here, and we got her daughter Stella and her friend Linnea. Thanks everybody for coming to visit. They're from Utah, by the way. We're kind of anti-Utah tonight because the Aztecs are playing Utah State in a big college basketball game up in Logan. So go Aztecs. But thanks for coming in to visit with us, everybody. Tomorrow we'll get underway at 2 o'clock, and then the next day Tony will be heading to spring training.
Yes,
that's unbelievable. It's already time.
I'm trying not to think about that drive right now.
You think that it is Tony Gwynn Jr., Scrape. You think they would send a plane for him or something, don't you?
Yeah.
And they give him protection at the fan fest.
This
he gets security
he
to walk him around.
He had the Pope mobile.
Yeah, the Pope mobile.
Yes, he did.
You think they'd send a private jet to bring him, whisk him to spring training?
I certainly wouldn't turn it down. I know.
I'm just suggesting it. Tell one of the Erics.
Surprised you don't have like time travel or anything yet. So being Tony Gwynn Jr.
When that becomes available.
Time travel will be what takes place next.
No, I didn't mean time travel. I meant warp. Like
warp speed.
Wormhole.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, all of that stuff will be discussed next in the Scraby Chronicles. For Tony, for Scraby, for the kids from Utah, thanks for coming to visit. Chris Ello, have a great night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.